Our Bibles, and the text for today's sermon is Psalm 46. Psalm 46, to the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah, a song for the Alamoth. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Selah. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High God. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come. Behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This morning's sermon is entitled, Be Still and Know That I Am God, and is by the Reverend Peter Van Husting of Wainui. My brother and sister in the Lord Jesus Christ, through the inworking of God's Holy Spirit, the sons of Korah wrote down the words of this psalm at a time when the city of Jerusalem faced a great onslaught by the enemy. This is, of course, a psalm which gave much strength to Martin Luther when he faced the onslaughts of the mighty Pope and the mighty Emperor. And based on this psalm, he wrote, A mighty fortress is our God. Many of us this year will face or are facing hardships. Grieving for some, surgery for others, still loneliness and depression for some, and painful relationships for some others. So, congregation, like the sons of Korah, and like Martin Luther, also we, the family of the Reformed Church of New Plymouth, are facing and processing various onslaughts. And at least, about some of these, you and I cannot change a thing. It is out of our hands. So what does one do when one faces an onslaught that has you shocked, shattered, and unable to reverse your painful circumstances? My dear brother and sister, our text tells you and me to, in our irreversible circumstances, remember the following three words or three points of our sermon. One, mountain. Two, river. Three, God. Mountain. In verses 2 and 3, we hear the psalmist say, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though the mountains tremble at its, i.e. the sea's, swelling. In New Zealand, we often feel earthquakes and eruptions. We see them, we feel them, we hear the mountains tremble under our feet. And will we ever forget that big earthquake in November 2016 when we saw the seabed rising up and the sea swelling to a certain tsunami level, especially in and around the Kaikoura region? And certainly, if you and I were not in fear and shock, which we might have, we were at least awestruck by the mighty powers in God's creation. So powerful that even the earth, the very ground that we refer to as terra firma, firm earth, was not firm any more. But my brother and sister, currently, and for at least some in our church family, the mountains are, as it were, trembling. Yet, our text effectively says, though the mountains tremble or even be moved, or slip and fall into the middle of the ocean, we will not fear. See, despite our apprehension, fear, and challenges, we will not fear. To use the Apostle Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Someone might ask, but how is it possible that someone, yes, even the psalmist, can say, I will not fear though the mountains shake and fall into the middle of the sea? Well, the answer is in verse 1. You see, we will not fear because God is our refuge and our strength. God is our refuge, yes, a place where people run to for safety and protection. Like, for example, the highest point on a mountain when a tsunami rolls in from the sea and the sirens make their howling noise. I ask you, what would people do if they don't have God? What would people do if the tsunami rolls in and they choose not to run to higher ground? God is our refuge and our strength. But verse 1 also says, God is a very present help in trouble. A very present help in trouble. The Hebrew can also be translated as help in distresses, he is thoroughly proved. Well, how were the sons of Korah able to say God is a very present help in trouble, or as help in distresses, he is thoroughly proved? How were the psalmists able to say these words? Had they then experienced God's very present help in distresses? Did they then have any proof of God's present help in trouble? Well, of course the sons of Korah knew of God's very present help when he once, with the fiery cloud and of his presence, guided Israel up from Egypt all the way through the desert, when he cleft the Red Sea for them, but caused their persecutors to drown, when he provided manna for them in their desert time, when he caused the walls of Jericho to fall. Indeed, as help in distresses, he is thoroughly proved. God has a proven track record of being a very present help in distress. And here's the amazing thing. The sons of Korah said this wonderful thing about God, although they had not even seen Jesus Christ. The expression of God's very present help in trouble. But you and I know of the Father's deep love and help for us. That he even went to the great length of crushing his beloved Son to save you and me, not just from a temporary earthquake and mountain that shakes, but from eternal catastrophe. my brother and sister, what method or way does God, our refuge, use to strengthen you and me in our times of great onslaught, calamity, and disaster? When the mountains around and under us quake, and some even fall into the middle of the ocean. Yes, how will God strengthen us as church family at this very challenging time for many of our dear brothers and sisters? Well, the answer is found in point two, river. Verse 4 starts the second section of our text saying, "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High." Picture ancient Jerusalem around 700 BC. This city of God is under attack by the Assyrian enemy. The enemy is all around Jerusalem. They stand with thousands of soldiers, with battering rams, with ladders to scale the walls to come into the city. But first, they want to hunger out the city. The city is under onslaught of the enemy. But you know what? The city has a lifeline feeding it. The enemy is unaware of this lifeline because, you see, outside the city there is a spring, a fountain. And from this fountain there's a tunnel going under the earth, under enemy lines, under the walls of the city, into the heart of the city. And in the heart of the city there is a well. And the people inside the city of God, a people supposed to be thirsty because of the siege, can come and quench their thirst there. Looking at the size of this tunnel, and archaeologists have dug it up, I would be surprised if some Israelites would not have been able to sneak out at night and go and collect some food. And so the city of God has a lifeline, a river whose streams make glad these people under attack. My brother and sister, you and I also have a river which quenches our thirst in the onslaughts we face. What is this river? Well, this river is God's word, which you and I have, a river which you and I read, and its streams make glad you and me, a people of God, a little Zion, a little Jerusalem under attack. And of course, it is the word of God which we read and reflect upon, which is proclaimed here in this service. It is also the word of God contained in our psalm and hymn book, a word which we have memorized through years and years of reading and singing. It's the word of God, which you and I repeat to one another when we have a Bible study group, or when we simply pop in at one another's place and hug and comfort another. This word is our river, whose streams of Bible verses and passages make glad us, a holy city of God. My brother and sister, this river with its streams, this spiritual river, is the same spiritual river which also the sons of Korah and God's Old Testament people had amidst physical and spiritual onslaughts against ancient Jerusalem. Yes, those saints of God were strengthened, not just by the city's well of water fed by the river and streams from outside, but also from God's holy word. But you and I, being New Testament believers, have seen the fulfillment of that holy writ. Yes, of the holy word of God. We've seen it coming. We've seen it in the coming of the word. Not written on parchment or paper or microchips, but the word of God who came in the flesh as a human being, like us, body and soul, yet perfect and without sin. Yes, we have seen the living word come, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came and brought us the good news and lived the good news through all his miracles, by which he healed the sick and even raised some of the dead, followed by his own death and resurrection, a foretaste of yours and my own future resurrection. So, you and I have the good news of forgiveness of sins, of being made right with God, of eternal life. As he himself said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. John 11:25-26. Can you see? He is the living word. Yes, the ultimate river whose streams make glad the city of God. Yes, the people of God, you and me, as the gospel feeds, nourishes us, quenches our thirst, just as Christ once said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, and as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. John 7:37-38. Do you see how you and I, filled with the streams of living water, now comfort one another with this very life-giving water, God's word? My brother and sister, see how our Lord Jesus Christ is the ultimate expression and living proof of the fact that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And I encourage us all too, in times of hardship, to drink deeply from this life-giving stream. For if we do, then even through our hardship, verse 5 will be so true of us. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. Who is this God? What's his stature like? Well, that is what our last point is about. God. In case the listener to Psalm 46, the one who has listened thus far, has forgotten who God is, his deeds, his sovereignty, his almightiness, his power beyond description, the psalmist in verse 8 commands, come. Yes, come and see the works of the Lord. The desolations, the destructions, appallments, horrors, he has brought on the earth. Reflect again. Ponder again what the Almighty God has done, so that you can see his strength. Yes, come see the destruction God at times brings upon the earth. Again, we think of the earthquakes New Zealand often has, and of the worldwide floods, of the COVID pandemic. The Almighty God, without whose active and allowing will nothing happens in the universe. He can make things happen, and indeed has made things happen, that will shake and have shaken many a human being. Destruction, appallment, horror. And even though God is not the author of evil, even though God is not to be blamed, even though God is not answerable to any higher authority, and even though God is love, such destructions do not happen outside of God's eternal decrees. So, look at the cyclone devastation on earth. Look at the volcanic eruptions and the power that is released. The Lord, Yahweh, the great I am who I am, does all of this. And even the pagan king Nebuchadnezzar came to acknowledge, all the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of earth. No one can hold back his hand and say to him, what have you done? See our God's sovereign, powerful action, which you and I mostly cannot explain. For his word says, the things revealed belong to us and our children, but the secret things belong to the Lord, our God. Yet, this we know, for the Bible says it, that even the greatest disaster ever to have happened came about by his decree, i.e., when human beings, can you believe it, went so far as to gruesomely murder the love-giving Son of God. Yes. Also, even this most appalling deed fell within God's decreeing will. Well, so far regarding the destructions which the Sovereign Lord in his will allows to happen. Our psalm also shows us another side of God's decrees and actions, the side of peacemaker. So good is God at making peace that even people who you thought would never be reconciled, for example, married couples who had been fighting like cats and dogs, and people who had never laid down their weapons or hold back their blade-sharp tongues, suddenly they embrace one another in peace. That too is the Sovereign Lord's doing. As verse 9 says, he makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. God brings peace. My brother and sister, it's up to this point in the psalm that the psalmist has guided you and me to look with spirit-enlightened human eyes at disaster, help, and God. Yes, at mountain, river, and God. But now, at this point, it's as if God says to the psalmist, you've spoken enough. You've highlighted my sovereign power. Now I, myself, am going to speak. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, hear therefore what God himself is now saying to us in times of challenge. Verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Hebrew can also be translated as cease. All of your own efforts in trying to change something which you cannot. Yes, surrender to God. Well, in light of the great mountains which God is currently and or will allow to tremble in the lives of many of our members, I encourage them and us all to now take enough time out. Put for once aside your tablet, laptop, cell phone. Swap your TV time for devotions so that you can have the life-giving streams of God's word to feed your soul. If you can, go to a safe and quiet place in nature. And so, be still and know that the Lord is still your God. If you did this, then even amidst or through your challenges, rough as they are, you will experience the truth given in our Psalms refrain, verses 7 and 10. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, graciously grant that your word which we have heard may be inscribed inwardly on our hearts. As we receive your word meekly with pure affection, may our hearts be filled with love and reverence for you. Cause us to bear the fruit of the Spirit and to live in holiness, diligently following your commandments. And may it please you to use us to lead those who are lost, wandering and confused into the way of truth. All this we pray for the honor and praise of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.